All right, it looks like maybe we have folks in place. Welcome to the last session for today, I think, unless you're going to have some treats afterwards in the lobby. My name is Dave Judd. I work for the Department of Education in the Office of Systems Evaluation and Technology. Tom Johnson here with the Collaborative Hubs. Nick Armit with CEPI, Center for Educational Performance and Information, and Kate Cermak with the Assessment Office. We'll be presenting to you on the data everywhere. And we're going to try to talk a little bit about kind of what's going on in the data hubs and what's going on with My School Data and what happens and where do you pull data for the assessment from the secure side and different tools and MyLearn system. And then I'm going to just talk kind of the back end at the very end about what we're trying to do to bring that principle to life of collect once and use many times. And that's been something we've been talking about for a long time. And how do we bring that to bear, even on the reporting side? How do we bring this stuff together for you so it's not a lot of different logins and a lot of different places to get a lot of different data? So that's our strategic mission. So how do you make best use of these systems? So we're going to talk about that. These guys know these systems very well. We'll have questions at the end, but if you have a specific question about an area, Tom will go first, and he'll start talking about some of the data hub systems. So if you have specific questions, if it gets too deep, he may bring you back up and point you to the end of the thing just to keep things rolling. But we want to make sure you get your questions answered and hopefully a little bit clearer idea of how these systems are coming together. And then how we can have these resources support you better. So if I could get a show of hands, how many folks here are district administration folks? Okay, thank you very much. How about school level administration or teachers? A few, okay, that's good. Any intermediate school district staff here? Okay, good. And we have some vendors and stuff like that in the room, so good. Okay, that's helpful. Thank you. So, but we're gonna continue on. We're gonna have Tom put this thing on.
Mic already. All right.
Mic it up, buddy.
Sorry, the handoff's not real smooth. Thanks, Dave. You get to see Dave again toward the end too, so he'll kind of bring us in at the end. So how many of you are familiar with the Data Hub and kind of get what it is? About half the room? Okay. So I'm going to give us a really fast-forward vision of or view of what we're doing with the Data Hub, talk a little about where we are in adoption. Then I'm going to touch on four or five kind of value-add things that have grown up around or are in the process of growing up around the hubs. So we'll kind of talk kind of the core hub and then really highlight some use cases. So we'll hit the basics. We'll talk about CEPI and some services that we never would have dreamt of doing pre-hub that frankly are super cool, especially the latest one, the snack pack. We'll touch just a little bit on the Data Hub single sign-on, which is starting to emerge as a really key tool that I think is going to be super valuable going forward. And then I'll highlight four or five initiatives in that space. And I get to do that in about maybe 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. So normally that would be a morning. So I may go a little fast. So if anything's confusing, stop me. I can try and clarify. So for those of you that haven't had the experience with the hub, the premise, and we wrote the initial grant 7 years ago as part of the TRIG initiative, and the dilemma was integrating systems and having data be consistent, have it entered, as Dave said, entered once and end up where it needs to be so you can use it, have it be consistent. I always use the example of so that I'm not Thomas in PowerSchool and Tom in Illuminate and Tommy in Swiss. Because, right, the person who enters me in Swiss I grew up down the street from, and somebody else knows me as Tom because of whatever, right? So that my name's the same everywhere. All my data is the same, and we reduce the redundant work, right? We all have plenty of work to do around data, and how many of you have struggled with data quality and getting it in and out of systems, right? So that was really the premise. Let's make this more efficient, work to improve data quality, and let people focus and schools focus energy on the kids instead of on trying to manage the data. This is a kind of a typical picture of what a school tries to do with its data systems. You'll see a slide later, and I've seen lots of different numbers, but the average school has formally probably 25 to 50 data systems. informally, there are estimates that what's in place in the school is probably more like 300. With what, you know, this teacher is using this system and this one's using that, and they're doing a polling thing here and whatever else, right? So, but they try and do this, and we're not very good at it, right? Making these arrows work is really difficult. A lot of times we fall back and kind of do it manually, and it's a ton of work, and it's not very time sensitive. It's not very reliable. And when we do build connections, every time one of the systems does an upgrade, it often breaks that, and then you got to figure out it's broken, and then somebody's that's got real technical skills has to go in and try and fix it. So what we said was, what if we build a hub, or you know, a hub that can normalize the data or standardize the data and let systems talk to it once, right? So the idea is the data hub, and each district has its own database in the data hub, serves as a central point so that your student information system can drop off names, addresses, student-parent relationships, class rosters, teachers, right? All those things that it really does, grades, attendance info, but drop it in a standard format. We use a standard called EdFi that's in place in 30 or 40 states and internationally and growing. And then we try to partner with vendors of all the products we use to say, hey, let's build an automated connection so that, number one, the schools don't have to do it. Number two, they don't call you every 2 hours asking for help on a connection or loading data, or the file won't, you know, I can't get the info in. We're trying to test in an hour and it's not working. I don't have kids, right? So it's really a win-win. But what we do is have the data go in once, and then you take it out with as many systems as want to use it. And in the data hub, the district always has local control. So they sign the initial agreement that, yeah, we want to use the hub. And then we have what's called our cockpit, where they go in and can configure what systems are connected and turn them on and off at their leisure. So it's totally a district-controlled environment.
Tom, real quick.
Sure.
So the benefit of kind of being what we call an EdFi state is that for the vendor community, we say to them, we want your business here in Michigan. We want you to come in and provide solutions that either the state or school district, whatever, we can't create ourselves. But we want you to be EdFi compliant so that it's a really as close to plug and play as you can get, so we don't have every district have to pay for an interface with a vendor solution over and over and over again. So again, it encourages the vendors to bring good solutions to the state of Michigan, but in a very efficient way. Now, we're seeing some of the benefit of that over the years, but again, politically, at least to the state, we don't want to get into the picking winners and losers. That's not a good thing for us, and it's not a good role to be in. And so we encourage vendors, but we encourage them to know where we're headed, and so we're very strong on our contractual language to make sure EdFi, APIs, different interfaces are actually in the contractual language. And so I would just encourage you guys, as you guys are working at your ISD district school levels, make sure you know, you kind of realize the benefit that is going to be provided to you by using that data standard.
Thanks, Dave. Great points. How many of you know that your district's connected to the hub and has data flowing? Okay. How many are not connected but signed up, or don't you know? Two or three of you? Okay, great. So as I said, we started sitting down, pulling people together, collaborating on building this environment. We did the grant 7 years ago, so about 6 years ago. It's really been a lot of work. We've really been careful to kind of dot the I's, cross the T's about data security and all the models and all those pieces. And the system, probably about 4 years ago, started to emerge and started to get a little bit of use, right? And we're working continuously with vendor partners to bring them on board. We're working with schools, with the state very closely. I should point out that it's not an MDE system. It's not a state of Michigan system. It's, I don't know that this is the right language, but effectively it's owned and operated by the ISDs and consortium on behalf of the districts. So the department actually can't get into the data hub per se. Now, they've built services just like other vendors that connect, and you'll see some of those today. So it's a pretty exciting environment. So I mentioned COSIN, the Consortium of School Networking, did a study, I think last year. It said schools use 27 EdTech software tools. Now, there have been other studies. I've seen 30. Again, I've had some folks do some work to look at the informal ones and seen a lot more.
Tom, real quick, just bring that one back up. So last week I heard at the CIO conference I was at, $13.2 billion are spent in the EdTech software space across all the entire country, 15, 16,000 districts or whatever, the percentage of those EdTech tools that they felt like were successfully being leveraged and utilized to their fullest extent was a very small percentage of that $13.2 billion. So, again, I don't think we're unique here in Michigan. Obviously, we all work with that. And as a state, we want you to, as a local control, you know, choose the tools and things that work best for you. But we really, obviously, as taxpayers, always want, as you do as well, those to be as effectively used as possible. And that's where, you know, the data hubs and where we're going with those data standards really can help.
Thanks, Dave. You can see the CTOs came back and basically said 90% up. There's value in doing that interoperability work so the data is consistent, it flows, it's reliable, we don't do redundant work across a whole range of important issues in schools. I'm not going to dig into detail. I just thought it was a good point to kind of put in the back of your mind. You may be thinking, yeah, but that's a lot of work, or yeah, oh my God, if we could actually get to a point where this is really running all our systems and we enroll a student once and they show up everywhere and we don't ever worry about it again, I mean, that's really the dream. It clearly is going to pay off in a lot of ways. Where we are now with the Data Hub, this is these numbers. You'll see a map later that's about 3-4 weeks old, I guess, almost four, are as of Monday. We have 551 schools live sending data to the hubs out of the 900 or so districts, ISDs, and PSAs. So you can see where we're at there. We have another 170 in the sign-up status. We've signed up, but we haven't completed all the setup, the initial setup to get rolling. Our charge from the legislature has been for 2 or 3 years now to try and have all schools on by this September. We're not going to get to all only because we have some really, really tiny schools who don't even have a student information system to connect, and some PSAs that use some kind of one-off products that haven't integrated, but we're going to be pretty darn close. And we've got over 1.1 million students in the system now. The average district has 6.4, right? Like you could have 0.4 of a system integrated, but 6.4 systems integrated, over 3,500 integrations running. So I'm going to transition, and so that's kind of the hub. That's the current status of the hub, and that's what it does. It's us one time building a connection rather than building a connection 600 times and having that data move. So as a result of that, one of the first services that CEPI put together to leverage that environment is called UIC services. And I've got some snapshots. I grabbed one of the presentations. So PowerSchool, Skyward, Infinite Campus, I think Synergy, and maybe eSchool Plus all have UIC services running as well. This is just the example out of MyStar. But basically, what happens is when you enroll a new student, through the hubs, it calls the state and says, hey, Tom just enrolled in my district. Do you have a UIC for him? In the background, you don't have to do anything. And it'll come back and say, single match found. Yep, go ahead and drop it in. Or it'll come back and say, match is found. And then it'll give you each SIS vendor delivers it a little differently, but it gives you which UIC do you want to select. But it automates that process in the background. How many of you anybody here do UIC? Right? So wouldn't you love to never have to look up a UIC? Right? And you're doing it, right? Yeah. Best system ever. There we go. I'm going to drop the mic and walk out. You probably haven't seen the snack pack yet. Because, yeah. I got an I love it back there. So I'm not going to go through the screens. This is just to show you in this system, they built out tools to leverage that service. I don't remember the numbers. I think this fall, sometime in October, the process had loaded about 140,000 UICs this year automatically that somebody didn't have to go look up and enter or maybe do a typo or try to copy and paste, right, and automatically pulls it into the SIS. And then we built together a service called the Snack Pack. Now, the Snack Pack is the first step, then the lunchbox, then the backpack. And really, the backpack becomes what ultimately will become an electronic CA60, but it won't be necessarily a single solution. It'll be a variety of them, and we've got a bunch of pieces of that running. The UIC service is one. It automatically gives you a UIC. So CEPI worked with some schools and said, on the data that we have from Count, or counts, what would be the most important stuff to know right away when a student enrolls in your school? So they have a list of about, I think it's about 15 fields that so as soon as the UIC comes in, and this is up and running in MyStar, they were our test district. PowerSchool, as I understand, it's really close. Skyward, I think, is probably at the end of this quarter. Campus is working on it, and I think the other two maybe as well. So I'm doing MyStar just because they got it up and running first. We partnered with them to do the initial test drives last spring and summer. Right after UIC comes in comes the last reported date the state has on the child. Their last reported attendance. It has free and reduced lunch status, I believe. It has, were they homeless? Are they foster care? Are they special ed? And if so, what was the disability reported? A whole variety of stuff that, boy, is sure nice to know before you're waiting for a CA60, right? The example I always use is we're enrolling at school. My parents are with me, and is Tom special ed? Oh, no, he just gets speech service, right? Well, yeah, he's special ed. You're going to know, last count, they reported special ed. We got 30 days to get him an IEP, right? Not get the CA60 2.5 weeks later and go, oh, crap, we got 4 days. Right, so it's super, super cool. It went live in MyStar in November, and by Christmas, 21,000 snack packs had been delivered into the system. Now, part of that is they built in a feature where you can go request the snack packs. So it may not always be for a kid that just enrolled that day. They may have had kids from the fall they hadn't gotten a CA60 on. Boom, they can go in and just say, hey, let's grab it for Tom, see what the last count said. He's new to our district. So that's two examples of the services from CEPI, and we'll see some from MD. So the single sign-on, I'm going to transition again. Remember, I said this could take all morning if I gave the whole thing. So alongside the Data Hub, we built My Launchpad. It's designed to be a single sign-on system. We have it running with a few applications now. You're going to see a peek of MyRead and the Strategy Bank and MyKIP, which will be launching in the fall. We're building it in partnership with the department and DTMB and CEPI. When an application connects to the Launchpad and your school district connects their email system to it, you just use your email username and password to log in. There's no new accounts. Anybody want an extra account? I don't see any hands, right? We all have way too many anyway. And it ensures that you're an employee of the school that's accessing that tool because you have a school email, right? So if you leave the district, they shut off your email, your access is shut off. So there's not additional work to do. It's that whole integration piece. We actually just started development about 6 or 7 weeks ago, maybe a week before Christmas, on MyKIP. We already have it up and running. I've got the development environment. I log in with my single sign-on into the MyKIP platform, which a few pieces of it are built. You'll see a couple screenshots in a bit. And we're working with a number of other applications to get that integrated as well. My hope is that we push hard together and say, let's get all our stuff in Launchpad so no school employee ever has to have anything but their email to log in. And when we shut off their email, they lose their access to all the stuff they shouldn't have anymore is gone too. So that's the Launchpad. We got together 2.5 years ago and said, hey, because we have all this data starting to flow into the hubs and we have this third grade reading law, couldn't we do something to help schools who are really struggling and doing a lot of work to do IRIPs for kids, right, those reading plans? And every district had a different plan and a different form and a different approach and a bunch of manual stuff that teachers had to do. So we wanted it to easily identify students, help them quickly and easily create effective plans, help support the schools in being compliant with the law, but compliance is by no means the priority here. It's just kind of a side effect. And then we said we want kind of like the snack pack. If I'm a student in a MyRead district and I have a new reading plan and I go to another district that's using MyRead, my plan goes with me and so do all my historic assessment results. So that on day one, the teacher can go in and look, say, oh, Tom had a plan, here are his test scores, let's get him going and provide it. And what were his goals and what were the strategies the teacher was using to get there? Really to promote best practice and support the literacy essentials. So we power it with the data hub. So the data hub supplies student data, teacher data, roster data, assessment, and the single sign-on through the launch pad. How many? I know I've got at least two or three MyRead schools. We try to roll out this year. It was a little bumpy because we uncovered lots of data issues when we tried to use all that data coming through the pipeline. Lots of them at the root cause. Matter of fact, the other day, I had to do some troubleshooting because there was a district that was up and running, but one teacher couldn't get in. Well, the teacher got married last year and has a new email address, but the old email address was in their SIS, and so trying to get in, it didn't work. They had to go track down where the data was at the root, had to be updated. But we move it into what we call the data exchange. It's kind of like a big data hub where we move some data from your data hub in so that MyRead can operate. That's what lets us move kids around, follow kids around from district to district. And we've started to see that happen. It's pretty cool when a kid enrolls and the teacher can see what happened in the last district right away. And then we use the strategy bank as a hub for what are we doing. In the case of MyRead, it's really primarily about interventions, right? So we use that as a repository and a hub. And in that, we're building data to support really evaluating the effectiveness of strategies. Just real quick, this is a teacher welcome page. Kind of, you know, focuses them on, do I have any tasks, what's coming up, lets them drill in and take a look at their classroom. Classroom comes in automatically rostered, right? New kid enrolls later that day or by morning, but usually later that day they show up in MyRead. The assessment data, we've really been working to get more of the early literacy assessments connected and then get their data mapped in here. And then a four-step planning process, right? Kind of model who's doing their taxes right now, right? Bing, 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 where am I at? A standard way to write plans. It's probably up and running in about 50 districts, and we're going to be looking to expand next year, and I suspect the year after that quite a bit. It's still a young program, but it's super exciting. Once teachers get in and it's up and running, they're really excited, and it takes virtually no training for a teacher. You know, the teachers who really struggle with technology might need a half an hour, but otherwise you let them loosen it and they figure it out in about 10 minutes. Kind of a status on where we are. NWA, Acadians, iReady, Star, and AmesWeb Plus all can feed in. We're still doing some mapping of results so we can lay them alongside each other in two or three of those, and others that we either are starting to work on or we're really wrestling with how we get them in that pipeline are there. I think this is an audience. If somebody's got thoughts on and really is into assessment and assessment data and results, give a shout. We'd love to have help as we really wrestle through that. One of the key things is there is so that when district students change districts, teachers and parents can understand different assessment results in a common language. The strategy bank is always a tricky one. In this context, a strategy is a strategy is a strategy. It's an activity, a program, a resource, a practice. It can be an instructional practice that a teacher does with students. It can be a student practice. So in the context of reading, what do I do when I'm trying to decode words? Parent strategies. It's a pretty organic space that really is designed to let districts meet their needs. And we're starting to lay the groundwork. We're not building anything yet, but lay the groundwork for hooking a research portal onto here. My kind of dream is that researchers could publish studies, districts could go in and flip the switch on the studies they want to share data, anonymized data with researchers with, without additional agreements and right? Researchers take care of all their stuff, districts do a one-time sign-off. So we're really trying to head in that direction, and we're going to have a huge wealth of data here. We're going to have assessment data, we're going to have strategy data, we're going to have a variety of things. And I'm probably way over, aren't I? So I got to get moving. Another transition, we have dashboards, and Dave talked about EdFi a little bit, so it's a national standards group. A few years back in Pennsylvania, they built a set of dashboards that plugs into that data framework, so we were able, and they shared it. So then we're able to take it, plug it in, kind of work it a little bit, update it to have dashboards. We're actually beginning the process of building a whole new set with some newer technology, but because we had that, we worked with the state and the Great Lakes Center the last few years put together early warning intervention and monitoring system. So there's an entire process that wraps around, and the dashboards are a tool you use in that process. It's based on the dropout prevention work and the identification of kids at risk. We've got EDUPASS courses, there are training videos, lots of other resources on the MDE site. Give you a glimpse into our dashboards. Here we have 5 indicators. You'll only see 4 here. This is in our cautions because there are 2 behaviors when you get into what we call failing in the dashboard, which I want to change language on. But are they below 90% attendance? Have they had school code of conduct violations? And then the other one, when you get into the failure, if you have 1 or more suspension, you get flagged. And in ours, it's ELA and math. Are you failing or approaching failing in those courses? And then we can drill down to the student level, assign interventions, and really track it by student. But all the data comes in automatically through the data hubs.
Tom, those course failures, are those coming from the district grade books? Or are they off of the MCEPS course?
They're off the district grade book. So 60%, 70 is a caution, 60. But we're also, I'm super excited. We started design work about a week and a half ago. I'm getting ahead of myself. Then in our dashboards, we also have state assessment results. I think Dave and Kate are probably going to talk about that a little bit. And we're starting to get local assessments. NWA is the first one because there are so many schools that use it that we have piped in. So while you're in the dashboard and you see a flag for a kid in ELA, you can come in and look at some scores, kind of begin to triangulate. This is what we just started design work on. You'll see my read in a minute. Really similar, or you saw my read a couple of minutes ago. Similar workflow. We're going to build an eWIMS tool for identifying students and implementing plans to support them when they're at risk based on the research for failure. We're working with the MyMTSS Technical Assistance Center, the old MyBLISI, the department, and a couple other groups, and we're going to have 1 unified set of metrics. So I think it'll change from just grades. We'll probably have math and ELA, which was really the middle school research. We're going to decide, and with those groups, is it any course failure? Is it core? Is it Michigan Merit Curriculum courses? What triggers that alert? We'll probably also use, I know 8th grade state standardized test is another flag that's been identified in the research, so I'm guessing we'll pull that in as well. And then there's a lot of work beginning to happen around behavior data and really getting that in the pipeline and getting it more consistent that I think will be exciting. So same workflow you saw in my read, we're going to build into an eWIMS tool. Again, all the data will flow in automatically, so you don't have to do any work there. And then my last big piece, I'll try and hurry through this one. How many of you know about MyKIP? Oh, most hands, okay. So Michigan's Integrated Continuous Improvement Process. So it's the new school improvement process for Michigan. We're working with the department to build the platform to support that. So think ASSIST. It's going to be the new ASSIST with a whole new process, whole new design, lots of familiar elements, but that's the tool. And we're connecting it both to the data hubs, the single sign-on, and to My School Data for initial release. So you'll be able to pull those data sources right into the system without having to go out. How many of you have done school improvement? How many of you was 75% of the work getting the data and figuring it out versus actually doing the improvement planning, right? So we're building those. We call them 2 rivers. The data hub and My School Data are the first rivers. Down the road, we'll probably connect some other systems too. It's a really pretty unique partnership where we're really collaborating to build it. We're going to operate it. The ISD Association is going to operate it on behalf of the department for schools. So it's not going to be a department system. There will be some department access. By and large, it'll be limited. But it's really a tool for the schools. We're building some compliance supports in the back end. One of the things I'm excited about, we're supposed to have this for the fall when we go live. We'll see, because Megs is being replaced. There's a new Megs coming. But what our goal is, and we'll see if we get here by the fall, I should say it more confidently, but it's a pretty heavy lift. When you build your improvement plans, part of that process is identifying what funding you're using for a particular goal or strategy. And when you tag something as for title, any of the title programs, it's going to bundle those pieces up and essentially create your narrative for your consolidated app, your whole implementation plan. So you do your school improvement, and you end up with your implementation plan that gets automatically loaded into to what the, whatever the new MEGS is going to be. All right. Again, I talked about the connections. The system's already partially built. The single sign-on is up and running. I can log in. I did it this morning with a group. Log in and move around to maybe a dozen of the screens and use two or three of the tools in it. The discovering data or the assessing needs portion really replaces the old CNA. And essentially, this is what it's going to look like. These would be views that come in out of my school data. We're now building new dashboards for the data hub that'll come in the same way. So you'll be able to say, I'd like a my school data report on, I should use a whole child example, but I'm going to get stuck there. Let's say I want one on fifth grade ELA scores. Say, give me I want a my school data report, fifth grade ELA, broken down by ethnicity. Boom, it'll bring the report right into the system, include it as part of what we call your data story. You assemble a data story, and then you do some root cause work. We built in Five Whys and Fishbone tools. Five Whys is done. It's completed and running. Fishbone's pretty close. Do root cause. So those are the screens that are built as of today, the sections. But then you go and you do goal setting. You use the strategy bank to seek out or just articulate strategies that will go into a plan, and then you build an implementation plan for each strategy. It then supports you in monitoring and evaluating that and really is designed to help have you work in a cycle. And my last slide, I think. So I showed you the numbers earlier. I think the map, some of us are number people, some are visual, right? To me, the map really speaks loud. The dark green, are the districts that are live and have data flowing. The yellow are districts that, as far as we know, they have a student information system that can't connect. That system hasn't built a connection. I would say that data is pretty out of date, so that may not be the case. Like up here at the tip of the Keweenaw, they just don't have a data set. I think they have like four kids, right? So they don't have an SIS. We got to figure out how to help them with that. The lighter green, so like in here, have signed up, but they're not running flowing data yet. The gray, so there's one right there, have not signed up or engaged at all. The yellow dots are the PSAs. Most of the PSAs are yellow, right? Either we don't know what they have, or if we do, it doesn't connect. But that gives you a really good picture of kind of where we are in terms of adoption. And I'm going to shut up because I know I went way over. And hand off to Nick. Oh, that's a good idea.
Oh, should I just do this?
You want that one?
Hello?
I'll give this to Kate so she's ready to roll.
Hi, my name's Nick Hammett. I'm the My School Data Manager. Can you all hear me? Because this sounds weird to me. CEPI is involved, so I'm from CEPI. CEPI is involved, obviously, in a lot of the work that we're doing on this side. And My School Data has also some direct connections, especially with MyKIP that's coming out. As was said, the reports for MyKIP, some of the reports of MyKIP will be pulled directly in from My School Data. My apologies to some of you who were in the meeting this morning and have heard a lot of this before. I hope I don't bore you to tears. But this will just be a quick general introduction, especially if we're running out of time, I can get through this quite quickly. So what is My School Data? So My School Data is pretty much the reporting tool for data for the state of Michigan. CEPI collects all of the data from the schools and districts and post-secondary institutions and from other organizations, and My School Data is the actual reporting tool. And how many people are in here are actual My School Data users? Oh, so about half. So half of you don't know, so that's good too. So the site, what does it offer? It offers multiple views of the data. We have snapshot views, we have trend views, so longitudinal views of the data that we show on the site. The site's about 10 years old. I think at the beginning it was mostly accountability reporting that we did on the site, but now we've expanded exponentially. We probably started off with about 10 reports, and now there's probably over 100. And with multiple views of one report, we're probably talking 300 to 400 actual ways of looking at the data on the site. So the site has grown to include post-secondary data. We have CTE data. We have now, we're going into the workforce area. and obviously all of the PK data as well you can find on MySQL data. There are two ways to get at the data on the site. There's like a public view, so the site is publicly available to anybody who wants to go to mysqldata.org. And then we also have a logged in view, of which you have to get a username and a password. If you work for schools, ISDs and districts, there is an ISD contact that you need to contact to get a username and password through them. On the site itself, there's like a help button, and there is the list of all the users that you would need to get access. If you work for the state, you can go through me. So if there's any state employees here who want to have access, there's a form that you need to fill out. You can just email me, and I will get you set up. And then the secure access, what does that provide you? Basically, what that gives users is the public side, obviously, a lot of the data is self-suppressed, so you don't see the small numbers of counts, small numbers of ethnicities in a certain reporting area. And also it gives you preview. So what we do is we have a preview period where before we release reports to the public, we give like a week or 2 weeks for the districts and ISDs to go in and look at their own data to make sure that the data that they see they believe are correct, but also to get ready for media releases and anything like that. So that's what that also provides. And also, for some of the reports, there are student-level information where you can actually get down to the students' names and USCs, et cetera, for whichever report you may be looking at. So this is a quick overview of the navigation structure. This is the current navigation structure that's on the site, and we are going through a redesign at the moment. There's going to be a fairly large redesign of the site from a user interface perspective. The reports themselves will generally stay the same for now, but there will be a much different look and feel. I think the navigation structure is going to be fairly similar, but we're going to try and package it differently so it's easier for the public to understand, that the report names might change slightly so that it's more obvious exactly what the report is regarding, and also that the navigation structure we can see a lot more at once so you don't have to go looking around for what you may need. So currently, this is how you would navigate through the site to get to an actual report. As you can see at the top, so the different buckets, they're like the main buckets, parent dashboard, early childhood, special ed, et cetera. And then you just scroll down to another level of reporting, and then you get to another level to get to the reports. And this is why we're trying to create a different navigation structure so you can see things much clearer, much quicker, so there'll be less of the having to scroll through where you kind of have to know where the report is in order to access it. What we're also going to introduce, we do have a search functionality right now, but it's fairly limited. With the redesign, we're trying to create a much more robust search functionality so that if you type in graduation, then you'll get the list of reports that you require. So you won't actually necessarily have to know in the navigation structure where reports lie. You can use that search functionality to find out about reports that you need to access. Once you're actually in a report, this is what we call edit report. This will slightly change too in the redesign. Hopefully it'll be much more improved. There'll be different ways of accessing reports through the redesign. At the moment, you have to go through it like a stepladder, like a WYSIWYG of trying to get through different, choosing different elements. And then the next element is based on the one you previously chose. In the future, we'll have, by search, you'll be able to find information, and also through the map functionality. If you're knowledgeable about the parent dashboard, we have a map functionality now in there, which you can get to reports and elements in those reports by using the map functionality, and hopefully we'll have that across the site as well. Some of the report features, so the edit report is actually how do you get to the subgroup information. Sticky settings, that's what we call if you choose East Lansing High School for a report and you're in student count and you go to graduation rate, then the site will remember what the location is that you actually chose, so you don't have to put that information again. And even if you like choose East Lansing High School, 8th grade, math, it'll remember that if you bounce between report to report and automatically fill in that functionality and bring up the graphs and tables for you, as long as those data are actually the same from one report to another, because some reports may not have the same subgroups as the one you previously chose. There's a comparison feature that is also going to be changed quite drastically for the redesign. There's going to be a much more powerful comparison functionality that you'll be able to use. You'll be able to check on multiple locations. At the moment, it's really one. In the future, you'll be able to choose 5 or 10 and pull and plug in different information that you might want, so to bring you up a more robust report for something that you're really looking for. We have dynamic data charts, so if you change elements in the edit report, the charts will change. As we've moved forward in the last few years, we've been able to enable users to turn and off and on different line charts. So if you have a graph that's like 8th, 9th, 10th grade, you could turn off 9th or turn off 10th and just have 8th and 10th, so that it limits the amount of data that you're looking at all at once. With the redesign, that's also going to be a lot more powerful and give you a lot more tools at your disposal to be able to look at the data. Sortable data tables, download and print, that's also going to be basically, the redesign is going to give you more tools to be able to get to the information you want quicker, simpler, and it's just more powerful. Important thing is here, because we get questions at CEPI that come through our customer support about some of the elements in the reports themselves. About this report is kind of an informational icon on the reporting page that allows you to go in and look at what does this report mean, where are the data collected, when are they collected, what metrics were available when, etc. So if you have questions about the report, that's always a good place to go first. Have a look there and see if it's giving you what you need. And if not, you can always contact us and we'll give you the information. Just a quick view of kind of how our reports look. We have the graphical views. The one on the left is the snapshot view. The one on the right is our longitudinal view, what we call the trend. And then we have the data tables as well. And the data are downloadable, so all of the reports have a download function. So you can click on that, and it will put in your email address. If you've already logged in, the system will remember your email. If you haven't logged in, you just have to put your email in, and the site will send you a CSV file that will have the data for that report included in it. Which is that. So this is the downloadable file section. It is a simplification of what we currently have on the site. So this is coming soon. We used to have multiple ways, or we currently do still have multiple ways to download the data. Users found that confusing. So we've simplified that now you can download what you see on the site currently for the settings you've put in. And then on the right-hand side, that'll be the area that you'll put in your email and get the report from us, which will give the data for that report. And I think that was it. Any questions? Yeah, sure.
Before you get up, Kate, I just want to touch on some things. So you may look at this and say, okay, my school data and the data hubs have reporting features. And so, you know, our whole idea of bringing things together on the reporting side, my school data, as Nick talked about, is not going away. In fact, making a big investment in the kind of the refresh of the skin or the pages and how they function. That is our reporting. That's our reporting, and there's a purpose for that. Now, we do believe, and we're encouraged by the portal where it's going, but also with where the data hubs are going, because that's a place where that local, and Tom talked about that, local data that we do not need at the state, nor do we want to have access to at the state, can remain down there when it's connected through the data standards in a very efficient way and be reported. So you can bring the local assessments, the interim benchmark, the formative assessment or whatever, into, again, based on the EDFI standard, bring them up into those data, those cockpit and those data dashboards. They don't need to come up to the state and be reported on My School Data, but where we're going is this will continue to build this out. And when we talk about the pinholes, which would be build a report in My School Data, and for a MyKIP application, don't rebuild it at the hub, but just connect it up on the back end so that report information can actually be shown in those applications that sit on the data hub. So we're trying to figure out technically how to do this so we can kind of build it once and use it many times versus just collecting once and using many times. But I want to be clear that My School Data portal is the place where we as a state report our education data, and that's why the investment's going into that. But how we collaborate with the data hubs is really going to be a lot of new ways to share that information, so it's getting closer to the user, that data that you guys need to use. And not to replace your data warehouses, because, again, you guys have somebody invested in that, certainly can use that, but it's we definitely want to make sure as taxpayers we're supporting an a process and a tool set that all districts can take advantage of, not just the ones that can afford those tools.
So two quick pieces. So a point I didn't make earlier, but Dave alluded to it. So as you think about the use of both kind of rivers of data, My School Data gives you the historic data, what happened in the past that we reported officially. My Data Hub gives you the data, and in many cases, we're going to model new reports after what is in My School Data for the kids that are sitting in front of you today. So as you're planning, you can say what's happened in the past right alongside what's happening right now. I think that's really important. And then the other thing that probably, Dave, because you're not in that communication pipeline, the development teams are actually meeting tomorrow. On the My School Data side, they've built the connector process, and they're going to take a look at it tomorrow and begin testing on it. So for My School Data, for MyKIP to be able to request reports and My School Data to send them over. So that work's moving fast.
Thanks. No, that's okay. So I'm going to talk to you about some of the reporting, and it's limited to state reporting, assessment reporting that hasn't been covered so far that is available to you. One of the things in an earlier presentation, there was a question about, I have a student in my school today, and who came in today, and how do I get their state data from their prior schools? And there's a couple ways that you can do it. I will say, lunchbox, I believe is where that will come in. But in the interim, I'll touch on two ways that you can get to that data. There are, in terms of just state data, there's three options that OEAA, the Office of Educational Assessment and Accountability, offer. That's through the OEA secure site, the dynamic score reporting site that you access through the secure site, and then through MyLearn, which is available through the data hubs. And the secure site, so basically what is it? Do we have a pointer here? Oh, that's not what I want. Oh, well. It's basically, it's for managing your testing, your state testing. And it's available only to authorized users, state or district and school users. But one of the key things you do have the ability to retrieve assessment reports and files directly from the secure site. In terms of...
Hey, Kate, real quick. So sure. On your prior presentation, someone did ask the question about, hey, you're going to get rid of the secure site because is all of it going to the My School Data portal? And so there are functional business reasons why the secure site stays there. We're trying to figure out more connected ways to do reporting, and that's where you see the MyLearn, and Kate will talk about that. But so that's why there is still a secure site for the assessment, supporting the assessment process.
So on the secure site, this is a really, really ugly page. But if you have a new student who comes into your school, and once you have enrolled that student specifically through MSDS, and you are now the designated PEPI, you can go to the student score history page, and you can see all of their prior MSTEP. You can see all of their, if they were a MyAccess student, took the MyAccess in the past, you'll see their MyAccess, you'll see their WEDA scores, you'll see their College Board and their WorkKeys scores. So any of the assessments that the Office of Educational OEAA is responsible for, you will see a summary of their overall score. You have to be the PEPI in order to do that. And you access this when you're in the secure site. And I think Dave asked this. Are there who has access to the secure site right now? So you can access this through the student up here, through the student assessments. And you go to student search. From student search, you plug in your UIC or your name to pull that student up. You'll go to the student summary page, and then there is a button that you click for view score. And then you'll get this really ugly report, but it gives you the information that you need. The other thing that you can do through the secure site is you can download data files. They're aggregate and student level data files. They're available back to 2007. you have to specify the test cycle that you're interested in. You have the two choices, aggregate and student data file, and then you'll specify your entity that you want it. The other thing that you have here is right here, you can get the layout. It gives explanations of what the different fields are. If there's codes or whatnot in it, it will explain what the codes are. But here's where you get those layouts. And these are the file. These are the different assessments that we have files available for. The early literacy and mathematics benchmark assessments. We have all of the student data files for all of the various reports, with the exception of WIDA Screener and Work Keys. This is also a place where you can find a couple of reports for WIDA Screener. You also access the dynamic score reporting site directly through the secure site, and you do that by going to reports. And earlier, to get those data files, we selected the student test scores. Here you're going to select dynamic score reporting site, and this will take you to another site that will provide you online access to all of these various assessments. So there's a lot of overlap in the MSTEP data, but for a lot of these other assessments, you don't have the student level data available currently in other areas. You also can get your preliminary reports for MSTEP and MyAccess, as well as the early literacy and mathematics in 24 to 48 hours. So this is just a typical report in the dynamic score reporting site.
So I'm always curious about, because I know how much work went into getting to the 24 to 48 hour turnaround. How many folks actually find some value in the 24 to 48 hour online? Okay, you do use it in some way. Okay, thank you very much. That makes me feel good. Thank you so much.
And there was a lot of work that went in to get those up and running. In reality, after the first day, the first day of testing may go the 48 hours, but in reality, after that first day, it's 24 hours. But what you'll find, this is an example of a student roster report. It looks this way. And when you look at this, I picked this particular report because it kind of details the functionality that you'll find throughout the site. There's filtering, and it is sticky filters as well, but you can filter in a whole variety of characteristics. You can filter on student name. You can filter on demographics, such as ethnicity, whether they're economically disadvantaged. So you can get a small list of your students. You can filter, I just want my not proficient students. So you can do all of that stuff with those filters. You can sort. This is from the PDF, so all of the colors are done, but you can sort. In this case, you can sort by scale score on this report, and then you'll get, you'll basically get all of your not proficient kids up at the top and all of your proficient kids down at the bottom. You can sort by SGP and adequate growth percentile. You can sort on your claims. You can sort on your passage-based writing. Yes. This is students who have tested. These are as tested students. Yep. What you'll see here in this case, I took a school and I selected all of my. I wanted to show a distinction in that overall proficiency, so I took economically disadvantaged. So you can see in this particular school there were 39 economically disadvantaged. In my school overall, there were 103 students. You can, there's drill down from this report. you can go to the individual student report. So I click on a name, I go to that kid's report for that grade and content, and from there I can click on their growth data, and I can go to their proficiency and growth report. Also, I can access this report either directly, or I can go from the comprehensive report down to the demographic report down to this report. So there's a lot of drill down capability, and then excuse me, there's all these features. I will say we shamelessly stole the About the Report from CEPI. It's formatted differently, but it was a wonderful, wonderful concept. You can download your PDF for it's the report that you generated. So in this case, I'd get my 39 students on my PDF. You'll get the you can get your file format. You can get your user guide for the site, and also the interpretive guide, which really tells about how to use the reports, what acceptable use for the reports in the system. So this is the reports that are available in the Dynamic Score reporting site. We had some problems with our layouts. This one should have been highlighted in green because this is not available yet. It will be available in the spring, or soon at any rate. But there's a whole slew of individual student level reports as well as aggregate reports. And then what we're really tremendously excited about is MyLearn, which is accessed through the Data Hub. There's no special logon. You get it through you log on with your student information, and there's a state assessment button on your page. You click that, and you go into MyLearn. And it was either Dave or Tom was talking about reusing reports. Basically, we use reports from the Dynamic Score reporting site. We are not creating new reports. It's only student-level data in MyLearn, but what you saw in the Dynamic Score reporting site is what you're going to see in MyLearn. So there's no special, and this is based on your current roster. So these Dynamic Score reporting site is students as tested. These are students in your school today. You get a new student, you get students withdrawal, you have schedules changes, you're going to see those all the next day.
The history, a little bit on this thing too, Kate, if you don't mind, that about 3 years ago with the online testing coming up, we knew the legislators and everybody was like, wait a minute, this trig project, we've got money going out to districts to be ready for online testing. We assume now with online testing, the electronic results will come back faster. So we work with our vendors, and we work with Kate and the team to kind of figure out, okay, how do we do this so that you guys can actually take advantage of that and actually get not just to administrators and teachers and school folks, but what about parents and students? And we had never taken that challenge on before. But that was about the time the data hubs really were starting to show the promise, and we said, well, if people log in via their student information system, PowerSchool, Skyward, MyStar, whatever, and that's the authentication to say, I'm a teacher and here's my roster of students, or I'm a parent and here are my children, or I'm a student and I would like to see my scores. That would be the only way for a state system or state data to be able to manage that, because there's no way at state level we could keep track of the custodial things. You guys know that. So we had kind of a shared concept from Georgia where we had the kind of a tunnel concept that would authenticate through that. We said the data hubs would be the great broker. The superintendent's district would choose to say, yes, I signed this data sharing agreement, which would share authentication information and the roster UICs for these students, and I'll get back this state assessment data. And so they can, when they sign up, they can say, yep, I choose to do that. I share that amount of information with the state, and I get back this amount of information from the state. And then we build the application, and then we tied it, like Kate said, to the Dynamic Score report. So we're not building two sets of reports, but we're actually getting to users that we've never gotten to before. So that's why it's really exciting to take advantage of the data hubs and all the great work on the team.
So this is the other place where if you are hooked up to MyLearn, you can, the day after you've enrolled your student, you can see their score reports here. This is the current report portfolio for MyLearn. There's three years of student level data, and the AT assessment supported. As Dave said, there's for the reports, parents and students have access to their parent reports that are very similar to the parent reports they get in the mail. Educators have access to rosters and individual level reporting.
That is powerful. That was the most exciting thing that, you know, besides, you know, kind of making this all work, was that teachers could, let's say September 15th, get the roster that was updated from their SIS the day before of someone coming into their school, in their classroom, then they would see those MSTEP results from the spring. So again, we know MSTEP results, you know, are of course from the past spring, and they have a certain amount of value. But just knowing at the start of the school year that that roster data, when that's connected to the data hub, every night, that we'd be able to connect those MSTEP scores to that new roster each that next day was really a powerful thing for the state. We'd never been able to obviously have access to that kind of roster information before.
So you'll find data on these various assessments in MyLearn. And just this is the slide that Tom said you'd find dated. This is from January 30th, so you can see there's a great deal of progress already being made in 9 days. it's just showing how the number of districts that are live on MyLearn versus on the Data Hub and the proportions. One of the things that we find really interesting is it's the students going out and using this and looking at their scores. And I guess they're long gone out of school, but I have two kids, and had my son had access to this, he'd have been in the minute that data was available. My daughter could not have cared less about it, but that is really interesting to us, and parents and staff are using it in approximately equal numbers. And then these are the student information systems that are currently hooked up with MyLearn. Yes?
So you can do NWA, and I want students to see their scores goal or see what they want to be. So we'll be able to have a student pull up their last.
Their prior year, yep.
See what they are.
Not NWA. This is the only state assessment. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my question to Tom, is knowing that the Data Hub connects to our NWA scores, when is the my school data being able to tap into that resource, because a lot of districts across the state are using that as an assessment. Because it'd be nice, especially doing our school improvement plans and district school improvement plans, to see all of that trend data between the different assessments, whether it be PSAT, SAT, MSTEP, or NWA, especially knowing that Data Hub and NWA are going to be talking about.
Yeah, so right now we have kind of a lightweight dashboard. We're going to do a whole redesign on that. NWA will be one of the pieces we build. And so you'll be able to pull those into MyKIP for that planning process. In terms of student access, as other applications come up around it, or other systems that you have, right? It's not just the systems we build to kind of fill niches. We're not out trying to build all the systems you use, but to fill niches like MyRead. Our plan in MyRead is eventually to have the same authentication for parents and students, so they can go right into MyRead, and then they would see those scores in that context. I think we'll probably, not probably in the first version, but in subsequent versions of the MyEWIMS tool, they would be able to go in, see their plans, you know, their graduation risk plans, and access those kinds of pieces. So that's definitely growing. Whether or not a particular application we have has the pipeline for students and parents to access it really is about us hearing about demand and then looking to build it. So.
Got MyRead, what about MyMath?
Yep, absolutely. We actually, I thought we would do MyMath next, but then the EWIMS kind of opportunity came up, and so we're doing that. The Math Essentials, I think, are out now, right? Or they're in draft. So I think on the heels of that, my hope is that we build MyMath before we end up with a law, and we can say to the legislature, don't write a law, we're already doing this. So yeah, we'll continue to model. We've had requests for, like, you know, my behavior and my, you know, similar tools. There's a question in the back.
I just wanted to clarify that having access to the data hub just depend on the student enrolled in the SIS, not an SRM.
Correct.
You don't.
Right. And so when we were talking earlier about that idea of backpack, or really that's electronic CA60 in time, you can see it starting to be built in pieces, right? MyLearn is a piece where right away you can access those state reports. One of the things, I don't know if one of you guys is talking about it, I can't remember, but we partnered with the assessment accountability, fired up a new service, kind of like the UIC service with CEPI last fall, but it got overloaded because so many requests came in. So they had to go back and do some reengineering. They're getting ready to relaunch that so that those assessment results, as new students enroll, come right into the Data Hub data set. And then we can drop them in the dashboards, but then our vendor partners, if they want to, say, how many of you use Illuminate DNA? How many of you use IDEX? Right? Our school data, maybe. They'll be able to, if they want, build a connection and come pick up that score and drop it right in that system. So it'll be in the tools we have, but the vendors can do the same thing so that all your kids have their scores in, say, Illuminate DNA every day as you enroll new students, whether they tested with you or not. So that service is coming online. You can access it through MyLearn, and the secure site gives you a little bit different view. So we're definitely building that CA60 little piece at a time. We actually talked about that as a priority project about, well, Kathy, I'm trying to think who else is on the actionable data advisory for the hub. And we said, you know what, that's too big. But what we've learned is we're picking away at it, and it's coming in lots of different pieces. So.
And we're going to give Dave so that he can have time for his. For the secure site, you would have to wait for the SRMs to come through in order to see that. The MyLearn is the next day once the student is enrolled.
All right, so Tom led into this little diagram here very well. So this is the picture of how we move from the right-hand-most box, MDE, OEAA, assessment data, through kind of the broker through CEPI. So again, Nick's work, we keep kind of patting him on the back for all the stuff we leveraged from him. And we sent it down to the operational data store for each district. So 3 years ago, when we were talking about the MyLearn project, the Data Hub folks kind of said to us, hey, assessment office, we really would love, because of these dashboards, to have the assessment data pushed down into these operational data stores. Because you saw Kate's secure site thing, which is, here's all the manual ways you can download the data files so you can load them up into your data warehouse if you have one. So we said, very good, but we're not going to take our entire statewide data set and put it on every single of the five data hubs. You got to come back with a better solution that's per operational data store. And so they did. And so that's what this kind of represents, that we actually kind of broker. We know who's requesting the information, which district is asking for the data. We had some technical issues. Again, we're talking large data sets. You guys know the assessment data files are large. They're not just moving student data across. They're student data with a lot of different scores. And so even EDFI is a transport data standard. You still have a lot. You have like a pig in the pipeline. It's a large data set. And so that really hogged down the memory in our servers. And so we had to write it to disk. So we re-engineered that process so that we don't run into traffic jams, and we make sure it's a delta. That's the changes in these data sets. We don't send the entire file every time somebody asks. So that's what that picture is trying to show. We really are excited about it because that's going back into production. We had to really make sure it was solid, and so that districts will start to see their assessment data pushed down into the data hubs. So another reason, whatever ISD, if you guys are still struggling, which I know there's some struggles getting to the data hubs, another reason to kind of go out to the data hubs. Keep working on getting your data. Quality data to the data hubs. All right, so once you do that, once you have it down in the data hubs, here's some of the here's the dashboard for this district, and so they're able to kind of show us in the MSTEP data, and again, it's these dashboards that come along with the EDFI standard. So again, I don't know if they've prettied them up more. I mean, they're pretty basic, but they're sharp. You're building new ones, but again, that came kind of, I'm going to say, free with the data standard. Once we had the data in there. So exciting things. Anybody, I'm just wondering, any district that's actually seen your MSTEP scores in the data hub yet? Or anybody have you started to see? Okay, so I know that some we've pushed to before we had to kind of put the halt on it. So there are a few districts that have actually seen their MSTEP scores in the data hub, which is exciting. And that's the future. That's what we're trying to figure out when we say, okay, let's figure out in the secure site what makes sense, but there's a more efficient way to do that now. And that's where we're trying to bring this together and push the data appropriately down closer to you. All right, so this is just a bigger picture thing to say, okay, here's the stuff that we've been working on back at the ranch, right? We have a lot of MDE and CEPI core systems. That's not a bad thing to see how those lines, those are interfaces. So, for example, we know that Educational Entity Master is the source system for all districts and schools and principals and superintendents. So I like the fact that there's a lot of lines to it, but all those are obviously interfaces that need to be maintained back at CEPI and DTMB and MDE. And so it's very challenging to get out of our siloed system mentality because we built over the years these systems for certain functions. And so what we're trying to do is move toward, instead of kind of having, you know, a whole slew of database administrators that keep track of all these databases and interfaces, more of a, what we call kind of a message bus or a service-oriented architecture where we can build not necessarily new applications that have to have a bunch of interfaces, but maybe services, maybe a library of APIs that move data appropriately back and forth to the data hubs or between CEPI and our applications. And so it's just a different model. So we're working on building that out with our tech folks and our business folks because you don't want to log into several systems to do, you know, similar things. And you don't want to get bombarded with information requests that are very similar. So I'm going to say that's our promise to you that we're working on that back at the ranch. It's going to take a long time. And folks are resistant to some extent because they're used to my system and how it works and how to meet compliance needs. And so we have to make sure they feel comfortable that we're going to still do that in a more integrated way and a cohesive way. So have some patience with us, but that's what's going on back at the ranch. And so why do we do all this stuff? You guys know this better than I do. I just thought I'd throw this slide up. But again, this is from the data quality campaign a couple of years ago. We believe that U.S. teachers value this data to open the doors. 85% helps data helps communicate with parents about their children's performance. 85% data gives an objective place to start conversations, and 75% want their school to do a better job of giving parents information or access to information. So these data hubs, My School Data, how the secure site supports it with MyLearn, what we're doing on the backside, we really believe that is our mission to support learning and learners across Michigan, and the data pieces that we do and how we work with you guys is really, really key to that. Tom, you want to talk about, this is your slide.
There was just a visual to really kind of close it out with, thinking about where your data is and all the work, you know, we're trying to work both at the state and in the schools to simplify the work you're doing and make it more reliable, right? People said to me, this is a secure site, how many of you are the person that goes in and downloads all the files and has to upload them in your data? And how many of you have to upload those results in more than one system? Right? Wouldn't it be great if you just came in the morning and the results were in those systems? That's where we're headed.
All right, there's our contact information, and we are here for questions. We have just a couple minutes left, but we'll stay around. Yes, Kathy.
Bringing in, of course, attendance behavior and grades. You gave the example of we were going to use 90, 80, 70, 60, except we are really trying to work hard in Michigan to move to standards-based grading, and so that is not a 90, 80, 70, 60 thing. And so how customizable is this so that perhaps in my building, teachers are only posting a status grade of some kind, a status remark maybe every 3 weeks, mm-hmm. whereas in my colleague's building, they're only posting a mark at the end of the semester.
Right.
And neither of us are posting anything like 90, 80, 70, 60, because we have all heard how detrimental that is.
Yeah. I think that the system's not going to be, I don't think, engineered on the front end for that, only because we don't have a set of kind of standard practices. I do think that as we look at the competencies and the idea of badging and some of those efforts, that the framework will let us plug those in later. But I think the trick for us is going to be to figure out how can we get that data in a more consistent format so we can start moving it and sharing it, and then we can figure out how to plug into it. So we don't have it now. I'm happy to sit down and take a look. If you want to give me a shout, look at what you guys are doing and start brainstorming how we might map that kind of data into a system that could help on that front.
My concern is that we already have situations where people know what best a good practice is, but they are sure their student information system doesn't do it that way, so they do bad practice.
Yep.
Because the technology forces that, and I'm concerned this may be another case of technology potentially supporting poor practice.
Yeah, so I'd love to, let's talk about how we can capture that and get it flowing and use that too.
Thank you guys very much. We'll be around for questions, but thank you so much for your time and your attention. We appreciate it.
It would be really helpful in a lot of programs like Illuminate and others. Local districts have the ability to set thresholds about what they consider flags.
Mm-hmm.
That students at this level, they're green, you're not too concerned at this point. Students at this level,
so I don't think kids that are in there need to start the flags.
Right. Yeah.
When do we actually start doing SRMs? When we're taking kids out so that
right.
They're no longer so that they're belonging.
It might be a concern about bad kids are getting
sent.
Right.
Yeah.
We continue to wrestle with that. I'll tell you, I think the general approach that's being taken in most of this work is to display the data based on the research, but allow some flexibility in setting the triggers locally, right? So you'd still be red if you're below 90% attendance, but you might not be triggered with a flag if the district says, I don't want a flag until they're at 80 because we got too many kids between 80 and 90, right? Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
And people will do that just to get the benefit of the system.
Right. Right. Sure. Sure. Here, let me slip out.
Okay. Yeah. You're in a kind of the corner.
Yeah.
So I'm virtual school. So
uh-huh.
I'm sure you've been.
So that's the point. That's the answer. They love that district. They support that. Well, hopefully that'll kind of help so the power schools.
Because I don't remember where I was in the country. If it can't,